Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 to 18. The following information gives you some background. Following the sealing of the covenant, the Lord invites Moses up to the mountain. While he ascends with Joshua, the Lord calls Moses alone into the theophanic cloud of glory. In plain sight of the people, in verse 17, the Lord's glory has an ominous appearance, like an all-consuming inferno. And yet, Moses is permitted to be with God inside the cloud and remain with him for a long time, as in verse 18. The reading follows. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me in the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain, in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. The wisdom of God. Our New Testament reading comes from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 8. Here is some background information. The famous story known as Jesus' Transfiguration reflects images of Exodus and Moses going up to the mountain and returning with his gleaming countenance. As Moses ascends with his companions, so Jesus takes Peter, James, and John. Indeed, even Moses, along with Elijah, appear and chat together. What appears to be distinctive is that Jesus does not shine like the sun as a direct result of contact with God, as Moses did, but the radiance appears to be a glimpse of his immediate, glorious self, an attestation that he is greater than Moses. The reading follows. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And then they looked up and they saw no one except Jesus himself, alone. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp to our feet.
My name is Peter, formerly known as Simon. I was a simple fisherman before Jesus called me to follow him. My friends, I witnessed such wonders as his disciple. Today, I wish to tell you of one such wonder. One day, Jesus asked me, James and John to climb with him up the mountain. He led the way and we toiled after him in the heat of the day until finally we reached the top. Suddenly, Jesus began to shine. His face shone like the sun. His clothes were white as the shimmering heat of the midday desert. I had to shield my eyes. He was like something out of this world. At that moment, he was not from this world, not part of this world at all. As we stood there, awestruck, half blinded, two other figures appeared. As I live and breathe, it was Moses and Elijah. James and John were dumbstruck, but me, well, I always rush in, say something, do something. I usually get it wrong. I suggested building three tabernacles, one each for Jesus, Moses and Elijah. To tell the truth, the whole thing was too much for me. I just wanted to get it under control so I could deal with it. We all like to put God in a box, don't we? Anyway, I didn't even get to finish what I was saying. This cloud came down around us and a voice said, "This is the one I love, my very own. He is doing a good job, so listen to him." We fell to the ground, face down, terrified. But Jesus came and touched us, told us to get up, not to be afraid. And when we did, he was alone and just, well, normal. We made our way back down the mountain. And as we did, Jesus told us not to tell anyone of this until after he had risen from the dead. And so, my friends, I have told you.
And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. I'm going to read you a story. A man in a hot air balloon realized he was lost. He reduced altitude and spotted a woman below. He descended a bit more and shouted, "Excuse me, can you help me? I promised a friend I would meet him an hour ago, but I don't know where I am." The woman below replied, "You're in a hot air balloon hovering approximately 30 feet above the ground. You're between 40 and 41 degrees north latitude and between 59 and 60 degrees west longitude." "You must be an engineer," said the balloonist. "I am," the woman replied. "How did you know?" "Well," answered the balloonist, "everything you told me is technically correct. But I've no idea what to make of your information. And the fact is, I'm still lost. Frankly, you've been not much help at all. If anything, you've delayed my trip." The woman below responded, "You must be in management." "I am," he replied, "but how did you know?" "Well," said the woman, "you don't know where you are or where you're going. You have risen to where you are due to a large quantity of hot air. You made a promise which you've no idea how to keep, and you expect people beneath you to solve your problems. The fact is, you are in exactly the same position you were in the moment before we met. But now, somehow, it's my fault." I'm going to link that with the story of the Transfiguration somehow. You heard Chris's wonderful experience as Peter. And if you want a title, it's Heads in the Clouds, Feet on the Ground. There are moments that are precious where we do leave behind the mundane. We go to the theatre. We admire a sunset or a little bug on a leaf, something that transports us for even a fleeting moment away from the ordinary, the mundane, the hustle, the bustle, the demands of living in the 21st century. But we need to return to that world. And this is a wonderful story that the early church remembered. It has so many motifs and themes within it. There is the connection with the past, with Moses and Elijah. If you like, the church saw this as a kind of a connection between heaven and earth, between the unknown and the reality of the world in which those disciples lived and in which we live. Moses and Elijah. Now, there are a couple of interesting characters. They had mountains in their experience as well. Moses, he went up there and he got the Decalogue. Those 10 words in the Hebrew, they really are just 10 words. A guidance for a new people experiencing God with them. And you remember all the signs and the symbols that God was going to be with them as they travelled to do God's bidding, to do God's work. And then Elijah who led the people away from the worship of idols, the Baals. And they're there, but they're not just figures of the past. They're a reminder of freedom fighters. They're a reminder of those who were there to liberate the people from the way in which they had been living to a new way and a new world to which they were going. See, that's what happened when they came down the mountain. They had a different view of the world into which they now descended. I read the other day that David Attenborough, at the 83 years of age, actually travelled to the North Pole. You know, I'm not sure if I want to go to the North Pole. I think if you had somebody pay for you to go first class and all that kind of thing, and you had the proper equipment, but it's a challenge to, at that age. And here is a challenge for us as we find ourselves experiencing something wonderful in worship, in drama, in music. I was thinking, of a certain young man in this congregation who has been up in the clouds, but he does have to come down to the ground again. And he was helping out, with the computers in there, but then he has to go back to school. It's that kind of movement that affects us all, that we are all part of. And as the confessional prayer said just now, maybe we'd rather stay up on the mountain. And the world here of injustice, of racism, of ageism, of sexism, that's all too hard. Let's stay on the mountain. And Peter and James and John, Peter the spokesperson, Peter, as you heard, he rushes in, sometimes gets it wrong. Peter says, let's build these, this is like our tradition. For the harvest festival, we build these little booths and we stay there and worship God, and it's all wonderful. And the voice interrupts and says, listen. What are you listening for? Listen to him. Now, when I was a school chaplain, I had the privilege of selecting speakers for our Holy Week service. We had a service all of Holy Week, all the 5 days at school. And we invited a speaker. We called it a Holy Week mission. And one of the speakers, I will stood out for me, the Reverend Stephen Kosky. He was a minister at Bryan Place Uniting Church. He was a Presbyterian minister, seconded to the Uniting Church, and particularly in the area of counselling. But he was a wonderful speaker. And he had some phrases that he used to hang his addresses on. And I can remember so clearly. And I want to share them with you. I probably have before, and I probably will again. The me I see is the me I'll be. Right? The me I see is the me I'll be. Somebody saw themselves in this congregation as what? A musician? When do you start seeing yourself as a musician? When do you start seeing yourself as a physicist, a teacher, a minister? The me I see is the me I'll be. There's a determination to fulfill a dream. Is that what Jesus was doing up there? What was the me that Jesus saw himself to be? Not to stay up on the mountain where it was wonderful and all very ethereal, but going down the mountain to be confronted with the situation of a child that was ill. The other saying that sticks in my mind is, if it's to be, it's up to me. A government should do something about this. Yeah. The community centre. They'll do something about this. The me, if it's to be, it's up to me. I wonder if that's the Jesus that Jesus saw up on the mountain. If it's to be, it's up to me. And coming down the mountain, took with him the disciples. You know, they probably did the same thing. If it's to be, it's up to me. What happened to Peter? Well, Peter got crucified in Rome. He stayed with the vision and the mission. He kept the faith. Andrew, he was beheaded for his faith. What about John? Some he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. We don't really know what happened. They kept the faith. They saw the vision. They had their head in the clouds, but then they planted their feet firmly on the ground. Now, I was thinking about, with Christine speaking today, isn't that an example of feet on the ground? We go from coffee shop, playgroup, etc., the computers. It's our feet on the ground in the real world. If you like, the world of the mundane. We've been to the other world, whether it's through worship, through the singing of a hymn or a song, whether it's through going to the theatre, looking at a sunset, going for a walk up Moriarty, whatever. We do have the mountaintop experiences, but we can't stay there. As a young person, I remember going to Nanyara, the church's conference centre for Easter camps, and always we were inspired by our speakers and we wanted to change the world. And then Monday morning I went back to the printing works where I was an apprentice, and it wasn't the same at all. It was the mundane world of every day. And that's what Jesus calls us to do. Perhaps we could say, the me I see is the me I'll be, coming down the mountain from our head in the clouds to putting our feet on the ground. And if it's to be, it's up to me. The other day, Wednesday, I had the privilege, Judith and I had the privilege of going to Para Vista. Para Vista was one of the churches that I was responsible for before we went to the UK and then came here. And they have built 10 units, 10 houses on land that was wasteland. And the congregation were getting older and it was very, very hard to maintain that property. And the vision many, many years ago was to have affordable housing so that those who were in need could be housed and that land used as a good stewardship of that land. In my time there, we had many, many problems trying to get approval from the Synod. And they said, well, you know, we've got to hang on to it because it might be needed. So, anyway, eventually the minister who followed me was a good go-getter, and he went and got. And 10 houses are there. That is, as a vision of head in the clouds, feet on the ground, it's a reality now. Morialta does the same, as I said, with the community centre and with so many other programs. Jesus, we need to meet, and we need to meet and be inspired. But we don't stay there. We come down the mountain with a new view of the world. Amen.